We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verses 15 to 21. Verse 15. Tashe chalastam tavasa jagadvapu kime nadishtam bhagavam stadeva kingva siddhishtam hidimetta deva kina sapadeva punavyadarshi. My dear Lord, if your transcendental body, which shelters the entire universe, is actually lying upon the water, then why were you not seen by me when I searched for you? And why, though I could not envision you properly within my heart, did you then suddenly reveal yourself? Om Jnana Timiram Nasya Jnanam Jana Shurakaya Chakshuri Tanyena Dasamashi. So what do you remember from the last class? Yes? He glorifies the Lord and asks for forgiveness. Reasons why the Lord should forgive him. He's a fool. He's a servant. He's insignificant. He's a son of the Lord. Okay. Anything else from the last class? Mother and father.
He's a son.
Right. Yes?
Lord Krishna is the source of Lord Narayan.
Lord Krishna is the source of Lord Narayan. Yes. This class will be all about that too. How he is Narayan. And he's the source of Narayan. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes? Krishna? Has four extra qualities than Narayan has. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
One of the proofs that Krishna is the source of Narayan is in the verse is Narayana Anga. But even more strong proof is Adisha. The original controller.
Yeah, he's the controller of the controller. Right. So, in today's class, we'll find out much more about the relationship of Krishna and Narayan. So, in this verse, he gives reasons why Krishna is Narayan and why his body is not material. He says that if your body is material, then at the beginning of creation, I would have been able to see you lying on the water, but I didn't see you. I just saw the water. How come if you have a material body, I can see material things with my material eyes, but I didn't see you at the beginning of creation on the water. I just saw the lotus and the water and me. That's all I saw. So then he said, okay, I'll look in my heart, but I couldn't see you in my heart either. And then suddenly you came. So that means it's not like you're something material that I can see you outside and inside. It's just, you come when you want to come, and you're spiritual. So the prayer poet, Lord Brahma here refers to his experience at the dawn of cosmic creation. As described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma took birth on the seat of a giant lotus, whose stem emanated from the navel of Narayan. Brahma was bewildered as to his whereabouts, function, and identity, and therefore he tried to trace out the source of the lotus stem, searching for clear information. Unable to find the personality of Godhead, he returned to his seat and engaged in severe austerities, having been ordered to do so by the transcendental voice of the Lord, who could be heard but not seen. After long meditation, Brahma saw the Lord, but then again lost sight of him. Thus, Brahma concludes the transcendental body of the personality of God. It is not material, but rather an eternal spiritual form endowed with inconceivable mystic potencies. In other words, Lord Brahma should not have challenged the personality of Godhead, the Lord of all mystic powers. So the lesson you can learn from Lord Brahma's experience, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way Krishna will reveal himself to you. And so Krishna revealed himself. After some time, Brahma could see him. So what is this? What is the argument that this verse gives that Krishna's body is not material, but spiritual? Okay. You need spiritual eyes to see his form. What was his argument? Yes.
Because in the beginning of creation, I couldn't see you lying on the water.
Right.
And then I said, so then I look in my heart, I couldn't see you in my heart, but then you revealed yourself.
Right. Then you could see. Not by our own searching will we be able to see Krishna with our eyes. There's a nice analogy. Last year we heard about it. Just like the eyes, well, the legs cannot see the eyes, but the eyes are directing the legs where to go. But the legs themselves cannot see the eyes. So we cannot see the super soul, but he's directing us where to go. He's in our heart, and he has the vision and he has the direction, but we cannot see him, cannot see the super soul. Okay? So the next verse, proves that everybody is in the womb of Krishna, the whole universe. And another purpose of verse 16, the next verse, that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, in order to establish the oneness of the universe within the Lord and that outside the Lord, Rama speaks this verse. So verse 16, my dear Lord, in this incarnation you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within this universe, the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body, a fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother, Yashoda. So here's another argument why Krishna is superior to Narayan. It was the second argument. And what is the second argument why Krishna is superior to Narayan? The universe? Yes, he showed the Virat Rupa to Mother Yashoda in his abdomen, here it says. And the commentators say that she looked in his mouth, through his mouth to the abdomen, and there she saw the universe in his abdomen. So this is a proof that also Krishna is our mother, because we're in his womb. In his womb, in his abdomen. He doesn't have a womb, but he has an abdomen. And we're in his abdomen. The place where the womb usually is where we are in Krishna. Everything, the whole universe is in his abdomen. Purport, Lord Brahma here describes the inconceivable spiritual potency of the Lord. We may find a pot within a house, but we can hardly expect to find the house within the same pot. So that's the reasoning. You take your pot in your house. Okay, that's understandable. Try to put the house in the pot. So that's what's happening here, is that Krishna is in the universe, but at the same time, the universe is in Krishna, in his abdomen. So this is quite confusing. By the Lord's spiritual potency, however, he can appear within this universe and simultaneously exhibit all the universes within his body. So here's an argument. One may argue, since the universe is seen by Mother Yashoda within Lord Krishna's abdomen, we're within the Lord's body, they are different from the illusory material universes manifested externally. So somebody can say that. Well, it's different. Okay, you saw the universe, but that's not the same universe as what we're here now. So here Lord Brahma refutes that argument, however. Lord Krishna is Maya Dhamana, supreme controller of illusion. By the Lord's own supreme mystic potency, he can bewilder even illusion herself. And thus the Lord actually exhibited all the material universes within his body. This is Mayatvam, the supreme bewildering potency of the Lord. So that's Krishna for you. Let's see what the Anand Vrindavan Champu says about that.
I have a quote here.
O Lord, not by the force of law, but by your will you lie in the water. You are free from all contamination and shelter of all truths. Why did you suddenly reveal yourself when I could not see you clearly within my heart? O Lord, if your body belongs to the material creation, then how could the whole creation fit within your belly? Okay? You understand that? If you're just one of these conditioned souls, like us, in the universe, then how could the universe fit in your body? Because the universe doesn't fit in our body, right? We can't put the whole universe in our abdomen, in our womb. So that proves we're not God. But Krishna can, so he's God. That's the difference. He can put the whole universe in his abdomen if he wants. And he can show it to you, too, if you're into it. Even if you're not into it, Yashoda wasn't into it. Here it says, externally, this material world seems to be false, but appears very real with it when it is within your belly. So here in this verse, Jiva Goswami says, the Brahma says, that in this incarnation you've proved you are the supreme controller of Maya. What was the proof that Krishna is the supreme controller of Maya? He said, in this incarnation you have proved. Yes? Adisha, okay. Well, well, there's a proof. Ariparush? He showed the universe in his belly. That's the proof that he's the controller also. Yeah, the word, of course, Brahma's prayers. But in this verse he's saying, yes, there's proof. You showed us all the universe. That's the proof that you're the supreme controller. So Jiva Goswami says, because Lord Krishna is both within and without the cosmic manifestation, we may understand he's not limited by the boundaries of matter. And when he appears to occupy a limited position in relation to time and space, that appearance of limitation is simply an illusion. So what is reality? If it appears, so you look at Krishna, or Brahma was looking at Krishna, and he's saying, it looks like you're just here in front of me like this, but actually, you're not. You're everywhere. So what is the truth? It's very, very difficult to understand. Although Lord Krishna appears to be situated within the cosmic manifestation is also within him, for it has emanated from him. So this is really bewildering. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that it is subtly hinted, it is by your inconceivable yoga maya, at the same time as the universe is present in your body is all pervading throughout the universe. And I am also, even at this very moment, directly present within your abdomen. So this is what Vishwanath is saying, that Brahma is saying, right now I'm in your abdomen. Which makes the further implication that you are directly my mother. So here's another verse to prove that Krishna is the mother, because we're all in his womb, we're all in his abdomen. So therefore you should forgive me. Again, back to that point, you should forgive me. You're my mother. You showed that the whole universe is in your abdomen. So, to establish the truth of this statement, as well as to refute any contrary argument, Brahma speaks for the next verse, 17. Just as this entire universe, including you, was exhibited within your abdomen, so it is now manifested here externally in the same exact form. How could such things happen unless arranged by your inconceivable energy? So what did Mother Yashoda see when she opened Krishna's mouth? She saw the universes, and she saw herself, and she saw Krishna in his abdomen. Now that's a trick for you. Show yourself in your own stomach. It's really, Krishna is so tricky. He can do anything. Just imagine the poor mother when she's seeing, where am I? You know, am I here, or am I in Krishna's abdomen, or where am I? She's seeing herself inside Krishna's abdomen. So, purport, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows in Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma stressed herein that without accepting the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot explain things as they are. Okay, so that's an interesting statement. Without accepting the inconceivable energy of the Lord, what can't we explain? What is it that we cannot explain? If we don't accept the inconceivable energy of the Lord, yes?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, let's be specific.
Things as they are.
Things as they are. What things? Yes?
You can't explain the Lord unless you accept that it's
okay.
Inconceivable.
Can't explain the Lord. That's one thing you can't explain. Yes?
Cannot explain karma. Cannot explain
karma.
Gravity.
Gravity.
Cannot explain creation.
Creation.
Cannot explain what happens after death.
What happens after death.
Cannot explain the inspiration of the heart.
Inspiration in the heart.
Can't
even explain the own energy. Yes. Can't explain how he appears without accepting inconceivable energy. Okay. What else can't we explain about Krishna? Okay, you said we can't explain the Lord. You said his appearance, so that's good. That's a very specific. We can't explain his appearance. Yeah. Oh, we can't explain how he's a person, yet he's everything. Because most people can't believe that. If somebody can be a person and be everywhere. They think, if you're everywhere, you're not a person. Most people think that way. So they don't accept the inconceivable energy of the Lord, obviously. What else can't we explain? Yes?
We can't explain the constitutional position of the self.
Yes. We can't explain. What is the constitutional position of the self? There's actually a philosophy here that has to do with the energies of the Lord. Chintya Beda Beda Tattva, where that is that Krishna Sharupoi Nitya Jiva Sharupoi Krishna Nityadas Beda Bed Prakash Krishna Tatasta Shakti Beda Bed Prakash. They were simultaneously one and different. And that's the things people can't understand. How can you be one and also different? Either you're one or you're different. Yeah?
It seems to me that Srila Prabhupada writes here that he takes it more widely, not just things related to Krishna, but reality in general.
Yeah.
Things as they are.
Mm-hmm. Reality in general, yes. As you said, karma and time and. Yes?
Not only Krishna, but anything.
You can't explain anything, right? Can't explain things as they are. Why people suffer. Why good people suffer. Why is there so much variety? 8,400,000 species. Why so many species? So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, taking the evidence in this connection of the experience of your mother and of my own experience as well, I, who am present within the external illusory world, am also within your abdomen. The implication is that Brahma is again petitioning the Lord, please forgive me. So this is, and here Jiva Goswami says the meaning of this verse is just as Sri Krishna is situated within Brajabhumi. In the same way, Brajabhumi is situated within him. Krishna is within the cosmic manifestation. Cosmic manifestation is also within him. So this is Jiva Goswami saying the same thing. And this is these truths he showed to Yashoda when he showed the universe in his mouth. Okay, now here he's being very specific. Jiva Goswami. Brahma intended to say, all-pervading Lord, he's telling what you can't understand. Without being influenced by your maya potency, which conceals the actual truth about you, how is it possible to believe that you are limited by the boundaries of material time and space? It is not possible. I have directly seen. So this is, your maya potency is concealing the actual truth. I cannot, but I have seen the truth. He saw that how Krishna is, all the Vishnumurtis are coming from him. So the next verse, Jiva Goswami says that Krishna is a shelter of everyone and everything, and Supersoul, present in the hearts of all living entities. So it's not just Vishnu with the four hands. We have Krishna. He's our Supersoul as well. Actually, not as well. Krishna is our Supersoul. Or our worshipable deities are our Supersoul. Whoever we think of, who we worship, that is our Supersoul. We learned that verse in third canto, that according to the deity you worship, then that is who manifests. He manifests in that form to you. Verse 18, have you not shown me today that both you yourself and everything within this creation are manifestations of your inconceivable potency? First, you appeared alone. Then you manifested yourself as all of Vrindavan's calves and cowherd boys, your friends. Next, you appeared as an equal number of four-handed Vishnu forms who were worshipped by all living beings, including me. And after that, you appeared as an equal number of complete universes. Finally, you have now returned to your unlimited form as a Supreme Absolute Truth, one without a second. So Brahma says, just today, Adyaiva, was it not revealed to me, Mama, that in this universe, Asya, this must be Vishnu Chakravarti, filled with your bewildered conditioned souls, a product of your Maya potency has emanated from your human-like form. This has certainly been revealed to me. So the universe, the Supersoul, everything is coming from Krishna. These are the realizations of Lord Brahma. So Jiva Goswami says, at this point, Lord Krishna might raise the following question. What is the nature of my form? In order to answer this question, Brahma says something in this verse. So what does he say in this verse? To answer the question, what is the nature of my form? I don't see it in the verse, but it must be there. Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm. There's some Sanskrit word here. And verse 18. And it's at verse 18. Eko si. You are alone. That is the nature of Krishna's form. This means, according to Jiva Goswami, now that all the cowherd boys and calves have disappeared, you have manifested yourself as these boys and calves. Therefore, these are all you, Eko Si. Because you are able to do this, I declare you are in truth the non-dual supreme Brahman, Adwayam Brahman. So nobody else except Krishna could manifest all the calves and cowherd boys. Only he can do that. So therefore, you are one, Eko Si. Everything is coming from Krishna. Eko Bahu Siam. Therefore, he's known as Advayam. He's beyond the duality. He's beyond the changes, not affected. So then Jiva Goswami says, by establishing Shri Krishna as a supreme Brahman, Brahma has proven Shri Krishna is all-pervading. So therefore, now we have this knowledge, what shall we do? What do we realize about our position? Yes, we are very small. Therefore?
We are deserve forgiveness more than Lord Brahma.
Yes, therefore we should serve. Surrender and serve. Yes. So then, the next question, at this point, Shri Krishna might raise the following question. At the beginning of universal creation, only Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva were manifest, and they are considered the original causes of everything that exists. During the time of cosmic manifestation, many incarnations also appear, and I may be considered one of those incarnations, but how is it possible to say I am the original cause of all causes? Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu are the original causes. So now Krishna is arguing. To answer this question, we have verse 19. To persons ignorant of your actual transcendental position, you appear as part of the material world, manifesting yourself by the expansion of your inconceivable energy. Thus, for the creation of the universe, you appear as me, Brahma. For its maintenance, you appear as yourself, Vishnu. And for its annihilation, you appear as Lord Trinetra, Shiva. So now he's talking about the guna avatars. And those people who are scholars, they think, yes, when Krishna comes, he's just a part of this world. Maybe he is a great personality, that no doubt, but not God. He's a great personality. Maybe not even that great, because he does some things that God would never do. So Krishna is saying, yes, how can you accept me? It's Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. They are the supreme. So Brahma is answering all arguments in his prayers now. No, you appear as Brahma, you appear as me, you appear as yourself, and for annihilation you appear as Lord Trinitra. So after reading this verse, in these verses, I was remembering third canto that we studied. There is a prediction in third canto that this was going to happen to Brahma. 3:9, verses 30 to 32. The Lord himself predicted it. When Brahma was praying, and then the Lord responded to his prayers. Then the Lord said, O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. So in that verse, Prabhupada talks about mercy, how we get mercy. Very important point. We all want mercy. The mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. But his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. So how do we get the mercy? Penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. In the second canto, there is a place where it says, Prabhupada says, the Lord wants to see how painstaking we are in devotional service. Pain, taking how much pain we're going to take. Or do we want to sit back and relax? Second canto somewhere wants to see how painstaking. You can just look it up on folio.
What does this have to do with the 19th verse?
19, you'll hear, you'll find out. Not only 19, it has to do with all these verses, the realizations of Brahma. You'll hear soon. So, then there's a verse 31. Tata atmani lokecha bhakti yukta samahita jastashi mam tatam brahman mailokam istvam atmana. O Brahma, when you are absorbed in devotional service in the course of your creative activities, you will see me in you and throughout the universe. And you will see that you yourself, the universe, and the living entities are all in me. So this was what the prediction was in Canto 3, the beginning of creation, beginning of the day, actually. The Lord said this to Brahma. Purport, Prabhupada says, it is cited herein by the Lord, during his daytime, Brahma would see him as Lord Shri Krishna. He would appreciate how the Lord expanded himself into all the calves during his childhood at Vrindavan. He would know how Yashoda Mayi saw all the universes and planetary systems within the mouth of Krishna during his playful childhood pastimes. He would also see there are many millions of Brahmas during the appearance of Lord Krishna in Brahma's daytime. But all these manifestations of the Lord appearing everywhere in his eternal transcendental forms cannot be understood by anyone but the pure devotees who are always engaged in devotional service to the Lord and are fully absorbed in the Lord. The high qualifications of Brahma are also indicated herein. So the Lord, when he spoke to Brahma in the third canto, it says that you will see me in you. Now that's a very interesting statement. What does that make you think about? Me in you, and all living entities are in me.
Universal.
Yeah, what? It's in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam sa. Yomam pashati savatra. Everything in me?
He's a true friend.
Yes. He's a friend to me. I'm a friend to him. He's a friend. He's never lost. Never lost to me. Well, it made me think of something also. That it's Krishna. It was Krishna who spoke to Brahma in the beginning of creation. You will see me. You will see me. So who is he seeing right now? He's seeing Krishna. Then you will see me. You will see you are in me, and you will see me in you, and see that you yourself, universe, and all living beings are in me. So he was speaking to Krishna. And there is also evidence by Jiva Goswami that the Chaturshloki was spoken by Krishna to Lord Brahma. And Jiva Goswami gives evidence in his Sandarbhas, which I don't have right now, but he does say that. And so he's predicting, you're going to see me. And this prediction is that he predicted the calves and cowherd boys, how he would see him there, and also in Yashoda's saw Krishna, and Yashoda saw the universe in Krishna's abdomen. And then he goes on to say, verse 32, you will see me in all living entities, as well as all over the universe, just as fire is situated in wood. Only in that state of transcendental vision will you be able to be free from all kinds of illusion. So Brahma had prayed, Prabhupada says, that please let me not forget my eternal relationship with you in the course of my material activities. And so Krishna is saying, no, you will see me, don't worry, in your day. Sometime during the day, you will see me again. Seeing me now, beginning of creation, and you will see me again during your day, during the day. It was a long time, of course, from the beginning of creation, but he did see him. So now this, back to this verse. So this was, that actually had to do with all the verses, what I just read, not just this particular verse. So this verse is about Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. And Jiva Goswami says, the demigod, Shiva, Brahma, and all incarnations come from and are dependent on Krishna. Brahma saw sometimes Krishna manifested forms, other times they remain unmanifest, but all forms are within Krishna, although they can't be seen. So then again, he clarifies this verse. Krishna may say, well, how is it possible I perform the activities of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva? To answer the question, Brahma says, you appear as if you are me, who am engaged in activities of creation. You appear as if you are Vishnu, engaged in maintenance, and you appear as if you are Shiva, engaged in destruction. So he says, in truth, you expand yourself in these three forms. Only they who are foolish and bewildered see these three demigods as different from you. Yes, guna, avatar. So they're gunas, they're gunas, so they're different, because these gunas are not in Krishna. He's transcendental, but they're avatars as well. So they're incarnations that Krishna takes, actually. We heard of the puja avatars, and these are guna avatars, and then the next verse, it's going to be everyone else, all the other incarnations. Who we have not yet mentioned, everything which has not yet been mentioned, etc. Verse 20. O Lord, O Supreme Creator and Master, you have no material birth, yet to defeat the false pride of the faithless demons and show mercy to your saintly devotees, you take birth among the demigods, sages, human beings, animals, and even the aquatics. So among the demigods, who has he taken birth as in recent history? During this day of Brahma? Yes? Vamana. Vamana Dev. In the demigods. And in the sages? Parashuram. Vyasadev. Kapila. Human beings? Krishna. Ram. And animals? Varaha. Matsya is aquatics. Nishinga, Kurma. Kurma is half-half, I think. What is he?
This Saturday is Kurma's appearance, Kurma Badashi.
This Saturday? Isn't that interesting? Kurma, yeah. I know when Matsya is, because my son's born on Matsya's appearance day. It's between Gaurapurnima and and Ram Nomi on the Tritiya. Matsya. Yeah. Kurma is this Saturday. Oh, very. We can pray to Lord Kurma. On the Kadashi. Oh, Dwadashi. Mahadwadashi. No. Yeah. Saturday. Mahadwadashi is Saturday. And that is Kurma's appearance day. Yes. Just see. We don't celebrate, but anyway, Okay, we don't fast for that. So let's see, there the Sanskrit words, Jiva Goswami takes out Ajanasya Janma, the unborn has taken birth, indicate Krishna does not take birth, but simply appears according to his own wish. So we've heard that in Bhagavad Gita again. Oh, and Jiva Goswami lists some more that we forgot. We got the fish, we forgot the horse, Hayagriva, and we forgot swan. Yes, we forgot the swan. He comes. These are the incarnations of Krishna. And again, here we go. Krishna's arguments, which may be the arguments of somebody on the street, but who knows. It's from Jiva Goswami's comments in Bhagavat Sandarbha. At this point, Krishna might raise the following objection. My dear Brahma, how is it you have come to this conclusion? It is not possible for my form to be all-pervading. My form is composed of various material elements, just like an earthen pot or other material substances seen in this world. How is it you say my form is otherwise? How is it you say my form is spiritual? You may have become a little bewildered seeing some wonderful opulences here, but I assure you, you perfectly understand me. So now he's saying, I'm just a material person. As far as the transformation of these boys and calves into four-armed Vishnu forms, let's see how Krishna explains that, which you have just seen, it has happened somehow or other because of the expansion of some unknown person. But I have certainly nothing to do with this magical display. This is Krishna. Furthermore, all these forms are spiritual, full of knowledge, in unlimited bliss, and all these human-like forms appeared at the same moment, and there were so many of them, you didn't see all of them. How is it possible for a little cowherd boy like me to manifest so many spiritual forms at the same time? I am not the cause of this wonderful thing. So what does Brahma answer? Guess what? Verse number 21 is the answer to that, all that argument by Krishna. O Supreme Great One, Bhuman, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, O Super Soul, Paratman, Master of all mystic power, Yogeshwara. So there's the first four words he says that answers all the questions. You are Bhuman, you are Bhagavan, you are Paratman, and you are Yogeshwara. And we'll hear how the Acharyas interpret these four different words in different ways. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. So where is Krishna doing his pastimes right now in this universe? In Vrindavan, okay. That's one place. We can't see them, though. How and when, we don't know. Purport. Brahma previously stated that Lord Krishna incarnates among demigods, human beings, animals, fish, and so on. This does not mean, however, the Lord is degraded by his incarnation. So that was a very important point. We don't generally respect a fish or a tortoise, or a hog especially, we don't give respect. But Krishna, when he takes these forms, he's not degraded. As Brahma clarifies here, no conditioned soul can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities, which he enacts through his spiritual potency. If you think about it, why would he ever want to take the form of a hog? Why would he ever want to do that? But he does. And the great sages worship the water that sprinkles, that comes from his hog body. They get the drops as Charanamrita. Although the Lord is Bhuman, Supremely Great One, he's still Bhagavan, Supremely Beautiful Personality, exhibiting pastimes of love in his own abode. So Bhuman, Great One, and Bhagavan, Beautiful, exhibiting pastimes of love. Same time he's Paramatma, all-pervading Supersoul, who witnesses and sanctions all the activities of conditioned souls. Isn't that interesting? He's all these at once. The Lord's multiple identity is explained by the term Yogeshwara. So we have our one identity, and that gives us enough trouble. Imagine if you have a multiple identity. Your king, your cowherd boy, your so many things at once, at the same time, in different places. This is Krishna. The Absolute Truth is the master of all mystic potencies, and although he is one and supreme, he manifests his greatness and opulence in many different ways. So why do we have to know all these things about Krishna? Why is it necessary to know he's Yogeshwara, Bhuman, Paramatma? Yes. Sense that we belong to him? And to love him. Will it help to know? Okay, yes. Okay, if you know, to know more about him, that will increase our love for him. Okay?
Appreciate how great Krishna is.
Appreciate?
He has so many.
Okay, we should appreciate. It helps us appreciate.
And worship also.
Yes. Yes.
And also, if we know that he's Yogeshwara and Bhagavan and so many things, and we hear his pastimes with the cowherd girls, we won't think he's an ordinary.
Yeah, that's a very important point. That if we know he's Yogeshwara, if we know he's Paramatma, if we know he's all these things, then we'll understand, we won't misunderstand his pastimes with the gopis. As people do misunderstand. The scholars think, oh, why is he doing this? Why is he, you know, taking other people's wives? Why is he giving them so much trouble? He leaves them, he takes them, he leaves them. Why is he doing all these things? And so if we understand that actually he's not leaving them, he's with them. He's with them, and he's increasing their attachment to him when he does these things. And then understand he's Yogeshwara, he's with everyone, always. Camp, as Burijan is very fond of saying, you can't be separate from Krishna. Yes?
So, understanding this makes his Vrindavan pastimes sweeter.
Yes, makes his Vrindavan pastimes very sweet when you understand these things. If he's such a great person, but look how he's behaving to his mother and his friends and his girlfriends, look how he's behaving. It's so sweet, if you can imagine. So we've gone through the first 9 cantos, and we've heard all the opulences and how he creates and so many things, and now it's so sweet to understand that this same person is this little cowherd boy Krishna. And so in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it gives an explanation of why this verse was spoken by Brahma to counteract the following doubts. So what are the doubts? Why does the supremely independent Lord appear in a low-born species like Matsya? So Matsya is the aquatic. Why does he take birth in the fish? Why does the Lord exhibit the humble act of begging in his Vamana incarnation? Why does he beg? He has everything. Why did Krishna run away from the battle? By addressing the Lord as Bhuman, it is understood the Lord is incomprehensible. Can't understand him. The word Bhuman means the Supreme Great One. The word Bhagavan means full of all opulences. The word Paramatman means Supersoul, or cause of all causes. And the word Yogeshwara means eternal master of all mystic potencies. So then he analyzes here, word by word. Since no one knows your pastimes, Bhuman, you are yourself the basis of your unmanifest pastimes, unmanifest. Since you're full of all opulence, Bhagavan, you are yourself the source of varieties of pastimes. Since you are the Supersoul, you are yourself the limit of your pastimes. And since you are ever-existing, you are yourself the knower of the time of your pastimes. The word Yogamaya refers to the supreme internal energy of the Lord. So he's quoting Jiva Goswami. So these are all the Chaitanya Bhagavat, yes. This is Adi Leela 2:14. So he goes on, Bhuman is the all-pervading personality with innumerable forms. Bhagavan means, although he has a universal form, he's nevertheless full with 6 opulences. Bhagavan. Paramatman, although he is the supreme personality of Godhead, he's also Supersoul. Yogeshwara means by the influence of his yoga maya, he is full of the greatest opulences, such as his universal form. So then he goes on and on, analyzing different words.
This all in Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Chaitanya Bhagavat, yeah. So who has the ability to know why Krishna incarnates? Still, I'm giving whatever reasons are described in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat writing here. So he's following the footsteps of the Vedic literature. Okay. What else do we have here? So then Jiva Goswami gets into the different questions which are asked in this verse. It says, Brahma says, O Lord, your pastimes are taking place continuously, kativa, in these worlds, trilokyam, but who can estimate, ko veti, where, kava, how, katam, and when, kada, you are employing your spiritual energy, yoga mayam vistarayan, and performing your pastimes. So nobody can understand these things about Krishna. So this is the conclusion. Even Brahma doesn't know Krishna. All he, Jiva Goswami, only one thing Brahma knows, Krishna is playing with his yoga maya. That's what's happening. Now this is the conclusion or the reality that Brahma has understood. Krishna is just playing with his yoga maya potency. This is the point he understands. Although he looks like one form, he appears in so many other forms, according to the way he's worshipped. So this little Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. All these other forms are coming from him. Now here's a very beautiful analogy by Jiva Goswami. Imagine a beautiful silk sari, beautiful or silk bakcha, silk cloth with many different colors, with many designs in this cloth. Just like a peacock feather has many colors. So if you look at a certain part of that cloth, you see one color. If you look at another part, you see another color. And if you look at the whole thing at once, you'll see the garment as a whole. So Krishna is the whole garment, he's the whole cloth, and he's partially manifested in the different incarnations, and they're the different colors. But Krishna is the whole cloth. So this is the example of Jiva Goswami. And there's another, I don't know if it's here, but it says all the colors come together in Krishna. He's the one color of all the incarnations together come together in the color of Krishna. They all come in Krishna when Krishna comes. It's probably later on, but I remember that here. That when Krishna comes, all the incarnations come with him, inside, within him. So all the colors merge into the one Krishna color to make Krishna. So this is the point of all of these prayers, especially this prayer, is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vishwanath has a final question, but how is it possible to satisfy simultaneously all your devotees at all times with your transcendental pastimes? The answer is, by your inconceivable energy, yoga maya perfectly carries out the work of presenting different pastimes to your various devotees at the suitable time. So what are the arguments? What can we say now? Why is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? After hearing these prayers of Brahma. Yes?
He's shown the universe in his, and himself in his
own okay. abdomen. He showed the universe and himself in his own abdomen to his mother. Right, that's one good reason. What other reasons is Brahma giving?
He is coming as Trimurti.
Yes, he's coming as Trimurti, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. It's Krishna. Okay?
He's coming as all the avatars.
He's coming as all the avatars. Yes, Lila Madhuri? Yeah, it won't work for them. This is only for sincere people who want to know the truth. Bhagavatam kicks out everyone who doesn't want to separate illusion from truth. It is for the Paramahansas. It is for the Paramahansa Sanghita. Yes?
Krishna is our super soul.
Yes. Krishna is our super soul. Source of all incarnations, source of the guna avatars. He showed the universe in his abdomen. So somebody who is a sincere person who wants to know the truth, you can tell him these things and he will believe it. A devotee. Devotees have doubts too. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. to the doubters, verse 19. To the doubters, you appear like you're in this world, one of us.
You appear as part of Maya.
Right.
To
those who are ignorant, you appear like that. And to those who are ignorant, they think you are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Then he says, yes, but you are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva.
And then he says that, but actually you come in many incarnations.
Yeah.
And then he says, but actually when you come, you still remain unlimited.
Yes. Although he's in one incarnation comes, still he's unlimited, remain unlimited. Krishna remains. Yes. Yes.
But, you know, when we're perhaps in devotional service here, and that's naturally doubts. So it seems, yeah, I mean, it seems that if you've got doubts and Krishna won't appear, but, you know, what can you do? You know, you have to actually clear those doubts.
Yes, we do. So we're trying to clear the doubts by seeing how Krishna kills all the demons, all the anarthas in Krishna Lila. That will help to clear our doubts. And this particular pastime will help to clear also the doubt of Aishwarya disrespecting Madhurya for Aishwarya. Disrespecting, yes. Disrespecting Madhurya.
What do you mean?
Yeah, actually I didn't bring a book with me, but that's the anartha is, one of the anarthas, which is for this pastime, is that you disrespect Madhurya Lila or Madhurya Lila in favor of Aishwarya Lila. You think, oh yes, Narayan is the supreme, not Krishna. But actually Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. I guess that's what is meant by that. The Brahma is trying to show it's Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Sometimes we may doubt, you know, how could this little boy be the supreme personality of Godhead? He's adorable, he's beautiful, but God? Of course, that's how the Vrijbasis think. But, and then we'll say, yes, maybe I should join another movement. This is only this. I should go and become worship in opulence or something. Because that's really God.
This offense, who manifests this offense when somebody prefers Madhurya Lila, disrespecting Madhurya Lila?
Okay, the question is, who manifests this offense? Well, Brahma was manifesting it. He was showing us. No, they're not. They're a bona fide sampradaya. Yeah. Well, we can't say that they're offensive. But there are people who will say, no, Krishna is not God, it's Narayan. That's, you hear that in India.
But is it offense or...
So that's an anartha. It's an anartha.
Not offense.
Yeah. It's not really an offense.
But it's an anartha. Choose his worshipable deity. Somebody wants to worship the Lord Narayan now. What is wrong with
yeah.
that?
That's true. So, don't ask me how it's in anartha, but that's what's listed in the book, The Demons in Krishna Lila, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm not saying it. I can't really explain it that thoroughly, how it's in anartha. No, the Vrijbasis are not offensive. They have Yogamaya covering, not Mahamaya covering. Because they're covered by love. Their love doesn't allow them to see him as God. That's different. If
Brahma,
you love him so much.
Brahma was offensive.
Yeah, Brahma made an offense.
He saw him as a small, ordinary small child and wanted to test him.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was out of love thinking, oh, such a beautiful little boy, like Yashoda was thinking. Yashoda was thinking like that. So Brahma is blinded by his position, but Yashoda was blinded by love. She was also blinded. Nanda is blinded. They're all blind. I mean, the Vrijbasis are also blinded, but their blindness is prema. Whereas Lord Brahma's blindness is something else, Aishwarya. It's his Aishwarya. He's thinking Aishwarya is greater than... Well, that's the example. Not that Aishwarya Lila is greater, but your Aishwarya is greater than Krishna's Madhurya Lila. If you're a big person like Brahma, he was thinking, I'm the creator. Therefore, who is this little boy. So he didn't appreciate the Madhurya Leela. And he was having fun with his coward boys, and he even disturbed the Madhurya Leela of Krishna, which wasn't very much appreciated by Krishna. And so that's why he was very grave when Brahma was offering his prayers. Of course, there's many different reasons. Another reason is he was thinking himself a little boy, and he was acting like that too. That I'm just a little boy, I don't know what you're saying. That's another reason why he didn't respond to Brahma. One reason was also he was just teaching him a lesson too.
So he created anartha.
What's that?
He created anartha.
Who?
Brahma.
Not created, the anartha was there. So they say. Or he's the symbol of this anartha, that if you think you're very great in this world, then you are greater than God. Yes?
It's a Madhurya Leela. Your coward boys have been...
Madhurya as opposed to Aishwarya means all the five rasas in Braj may sometimes be called Madhurya. Yes, and by Kunta it's called Aishwarya. So there's one rasa which is Madhurya, but then there are... The whole thing is Madhurya in Vrindavan. Yeah, the sweetness, it means sweetness. Leela Madhurya. Sweetness of the Leela.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay, wait, let
is yes. It the same Brahma who received the local mantra in Kama Gayatri and realized he's a Manjari?
Wow.
Brahma Sutra, I think. Brahma Samhita.
Brahma Samhita, it says that. Is this the same Brahma? Well, as far as I know, there's only one Brahma in the universe, and he doesn't change until the end of his life.
Is it the same?
Must be.
But there are many creations.
Yes, I don't know what happened in this case. I don't know what happened to him. Must be the same one, because they're not allowed to change for their whole, you know, two paradas. Or
maybe Brahma Samhita was...
Oh, no.
Because it's a Sanghita. So
Sanghita.
Sanghita is eternal.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get that impression from Srila Prabhupada that this Brahma Samhita, we got the impression it was this Brahma who wrote this Brahma Samhita. And if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya discovered the Brahma Samhita, also it would appear that it was written by this Brahma. Well, Brahma feels like he offended him.
But who has power to interrupt?
Anyway, we can say, if you say like that, then we can, yeah, go ahead.
It doesn't have to have been a plan. It could have been just a prediction.
Yeah, yeah. Prediction, you will see me later on.
It's not his plan, it's a prediction.
I mean, Krishna is going to appear. And so the prediction is you will see me. He didn't say you're going to... You know, you're going to steal my calves and the boys, and you're going to do this and that.
But
he didn't say that.
This also,
yes, we will see. We will see that his prayers will reveal his mentality, that he was. He came to Vrindavan, and he got the mercy, but he couldn't stay in Vrindavan.
Yes,
so we'll see. We'll see that. Yes, he got in touch with Vrindavan, but he was very out of place there. He didn't belong there. It was not his place. We'll see that he had to go back and do his service. He couldn't stay in Vrindavan. So a lot of devotees, they come to Vrindavan, but then they have to go back and do their service in other parts of the world. So Brahma was like that. He couldn't stay. He came, and he went back to Brahma. He had to go back to Brahmaloka and manage the universe.
But isn't every Brahma coming to in touch like this?
I don't know.
Madhurya? Every Brahma in every lifetime.
Anyway, that question, I don't know. If it's every Brahma in every lifetime.
Only this Brahma was so fortunate.
You have to see. Of course, we know it's Nitya Leela. So, it is Nitya Leela. So, if it's Nitya Leela, it means it's going on in some universe or other. The same Leela is going on. And in this universe, our Brahma has four heads. In other universes, Brahmas have more heads. So different Brahmas are getting the mercy of the Leela. They're getting the mercy. Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela. Yes?
Yeah.
No. Okay. You have something?
Oh, I was thinking that when I heard this commentaries of all these acharyas about the reasoning of Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
Because Lord Brahma, he had thought very deeply about the whole thing because he has four heads.
Right, very deeply.
So what he's saying here is at the conclusion of deep doubt, of deep thinking, meditation. So, and then I see all the acharyas, they are commenting, but I have the impression they are using techniques from Vedanta.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Vedantists, they use techniques like samsaya. They put forward a doubt.
Yes.
And then they try to answer that doubt, and then they come up with purvapaksha, an objection.
Right.
That and then their reasoning is going on until they come to siddhanta, conclusion.
Right.
And it's wonderful how they are revealing the reasoning of Lord Brahma behind what could be Lord Krishna's answers, and what am I going to answer to that again? And that's so wonderful.
Yeah, it's very wonderful. Yeah, it's like that. You present something, and then you do the counter argument, and then the answer to that, synthesis of everything. That's the Vedic way. So Lord Brahma is the author, or is the actual leader of the Vedic way. And so his prayers seem to reflect that. They do reflect that tendency. And Lord Brahma and the Acharyas picked up on it, because they're acquainted with the Vedic way, the Vedanta and the Vedic way. So they have picked up on this Krishna's objections, and then Brahma answers the objections. Yeah, it's a very nice point how the Acharyas are doing that. Different arguments, counter-arguments. And that's, what do you call it? Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Is that what it is? You have your thesis, then you have your antithesis, and then you have your synthesis. How do you reconcile these things? So all of these prayers, each of the prayers is the synthesis. Krishna is giving, and then there's, of course, the thesis we know, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Then Krishna is giving the antithesis to Brahma. No, but how is it possible? Then he gives argument. And then Brahma answers with each verse. This is the synthesis of this thesis and antithesis. I know, because I attended Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj's Bhagavatam, and that's what they follow, actually. They try to follow that in their study of Bhagavatam. They do that. In their presentations, they have to do this thesis, antithesis, and synthesis for their presentations, for their Bhagavatam.
So what's the synthesis here?
Synthesis. Each of the prayers is a synthesis of the arguments and counter-arguments. Each one of his, we see that. Each one of these prayers, each one of these prayers, each verse is a synthesis of the arguments and counter-arguments. Counter-arguments of Krishna, and the main argument is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then Krishna brings up all the counter-arguments, why he's not. And then Brahma gives all the answers, yes, no, why you are. Why you are Narayan, why you are the original. And so this is going on, yes, very nice. You have studied that in your college?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's your background. Yeah, I heard it in Mayapur.
Because Bhaktisthi Swarup Damodara Maharaj, he wrote these little books on the five first sutras of Vedanta, and he explains it quite scientific way. It's great to see such work, isn't it?
Yes.
In the academic world also, that people will have to appreciate that.
You have to appreciate that way of angle of seeing things, that perspective of seeing things from the Vedanta point of view.
And during this course, we had to analyze certain sections because we have padas, certain padas that certain verses of Vedanta Sutra,
mm-hmm.
and we had to explain it in these terms. We had to give a presentation on them, 4 or 5 of these sutras, and explain the reasoning behind of different acharyas. It was also Ramanuja was there. Mm-hmm. Ramanuja, Valadev Vidyabhusan, Sankar, these three. There was maybe a fourth one, and we had to present this reasoning. And in terms of samsaya, purvapaksha, and this, and coming to siddhanta, and that's interesting. You learn also to think in that way.
Yes.
To develop your reasoning.
Yes. So this is so we can understand. This is what's going on here with Brahma's prayers, and when we get the light of the acharyas shining on the verses, then we can also get a glimpse of what's going on in the background here, that something is going on. It's not just he's saying this verse and that verse. There's a logic to it, and there's a reasoning to it, and it's very wonderful to hear it from the acharyas. They can follow. We're really in the modes of ignorance. We're not aware of what's going on, but if we take the help or the light of the acharyas, then we can see. Thank you for that point. That was really wonderful. How the Vedanta viewpoint is being expressed here by the acharyas. And they follow the Vedanta. Prabhupada, with us, what could he do? You are not this body, almost every class. Just come to the first point. If you can get that, then at least you're a human being. Not an animal. Atato, the first thing in, what is it? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The first thing in Brahma Sutra, you should inquire into Brahman. Brahma Jigyasa. Human form of life. Yes? Doubts are caused by sinful activity. Yeah, it was natural. Now it's natural to be sinful. Everybody's pretty much born sinful in this world, practically. Kali Yuga, in ignorance, everybody's born, what is it? Kalo Shudra Sambhava. So therefore, they cannot study the Vedas. Everybody's born a Shudra, so only Shudras cannot study the Vedas. So therefore, what to do? Therefore, Pancha Chiki and Bhagavatam and Gita, they are given for this, and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is for everyone. There is no bar. Not a Vedic aphorism. So we get the Vedas in a very nice form, palatable form, in this age of Kali. Bhagavata, Mahabharat, Ramayana. Wonderful, wonderful Vedas. But they're not Vedas. So therefore we can study them even though we're Shudras. And we can chant Hare Krishna even though we're Shudras, born Shudra families. Yes. Anything? Any other comments and questions on these verses? So everybody's convinced? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Therefore what? We should serve Him. Worship, serve.
Love.
We should love Him. Therefore, we should mold our life in such a way that we always remember Him. Prabhupada says in Gita, in such a way that we're always engaged. Body, mind, and words. We learned that yesterday. Body, mind, and words engaged in His service. Yes?
Krishna appears in the different forms in animals, and, like Matsya, is used to pull the
boat. Matsya. No, it's not the only reason. Some devotees like to see Him in those forms. And they worship Him in those forms. And devotees like the fish form and the boar form. And Mother Earth, she likes Varaha, for sure. Because He rescued her. They like, it's according to the devotees also, to please the devotees. He appears in those forms. When He appeared as the boar, Then he changed to in a threefold. He changed to a bluish form to show that he was Krishna. It's part of that pastime. Yeah, he was red, but he changed. At one point, he changed into tamal color. And so then they saw, oh, it's Krishna, actually. Varaha and Mother Earth had some, yes, had some relationship there, and the sun was Narakasura, Bhaumasura, by bad association. So it can happen to any, to the best. Even Krishna's, Vishnu's own child became a demon. It happens. And Krishna had to kill him, right? He did kill Bhaumasura, I think. Yes. Yeah, they didn't go, but they, the others, they saw his pastimes in Hastinapur. He was not in Vrindavan. You're not allowed. There's a story about Kamsa coming to Vrindavan, and he got in. And as soon as he got in, he was his form changed to an old lady.
Yes.
Right? Who had to make cow patties. But he was very bad at making cow patties. And so everyone was giving him a lot of all the other ladies were on his case. And he was so miserable as an old lady. You can hear from their previous lives that there was something behind it,
yes,
all of them. They were cursed. All of them were cursed.
And then
part of the curse was, no, they weren't all devotees. Some were demons.
Mm-hmm.
Some were demons, some were devotees. They were from all walks of life. Some were demons, some were devotees. But all of them were cursed. They all made a mistake.
Cursed means they were blessed.
Yeah, cursed or blessed, because they got to see Krishna.
They actually deserve to be in touch with Krishna.
Yeah.
Some
of them. And some of them, it was just causeless mercy. No, devotees on this earth, they worship him in reverence, in all those incarnations. In those incarnations, it would appear that they are. But Ram is not in that category. He's in Ram. Ayodhya is part of Goloka. Yeah.
So there is Krishna in the first canto, seventh canto.
Yes, seven?
Ninth canto.
Really? How does he come in seven? I don't remember.
Because
Yudhishthira's there, I know.
Narada mentions to Yudhishthira that how much more worshipable is this?
Yeah, okay. He's mentioned. Right, seven. Yeah, actually, all the candles point to Krishna.
Krishna's name is in every canto?
Yes. Yes, Krishna's name is in every canto. So for the perceptive student, you will find that Krishna is also in all the cantos. Yes, that's a good point. He's in all the cantos. In fact, that was one commentary by Jiva Goswami. He took all the cantos and showed how Krishna's name was in every canto and how it points to Krishna in every canto. Every canto points to Krishna. Yeah, he's ashray. He's a shelter. And so, yes, even the Madhurya devotees can read the whole Bhagavatam and appreciate it and say, yes, that's my Krishna who came in this form, who came in that form. Yes?
It is known that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing Prahlad Lila and Dhruva Charita hundreds of times.
Prahlad and?
Dhruva Charita.
Dhruva. Dhruva Charita and Prahlad. So we should also.
What was his mood?
Devotees, yes. Nrisinga is explained that Nrisinga, he gives Radha Krishna prema. There's a place in Mayapur, Nrisinga Pali. And there's prayers that they say to Nrisingadev, please give me prema for Radha and Krishna. Give me Radha Krishna prema. Now, Dhruva, I don't know, but Nrisinga, I know for sure that he can help you in that way. He can help you get to Krishna. Dhruva Charita, I don't know. I guess that's hopeful in case we do have some anarthas and we can still attain Krishna. But why Lord Chaitanya was hearing it, I don't know. But I know Nrisingadev for sure. If you read this little booklet by Pankajangri, it's got the prayers that you pray to Nrisinga for Krishna prema, Madhurya. Something is here. Actually, he's in charge. Nrsingha is in charge of Vatsalya Ras. That's another point. Each of these different incarnations are in charge of different rasas. Nectar devotion. It's in nectar devotion, but not explicitly. You know, there's a one list and two lists, but it doesn't really match them. But I think in the waves of devotion or somewhere, it does match them. They're matched up. So Nrsingha is Vatsalya Ras. Vatsalya Ras is in.
She's very protective.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in charge of Vatsalya Ras. You can feel that in Mayapur. You go to Mayapur and that Nrsingadeva is like your father for taking care of you. He's not fearful for us. But for some people, he's very fearful. For those who are non-devotees, one devotee told me there was one non-devotee who came to Mayapur from America or something, and he didn't even want to enter the temple of Nrsingha, where Nrsingha was. He was so scared, and then they brought him in, and then some of the water fell on him from Nrsingha's abhishek, and it felt like it burnt his body. His body was burnt. It's burnt in those places where the water fell. And later on, that guy became a devotee, actually. But Nrsingha, he's our protector. He's protector of the Sankirtan movement, actually. That's another reason. I've heard, from reading that book, I got the information that Nrsingadeva is the protector of the Sankirtan movement. So who is the starter of the Sankirtan movement? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this... Manjuva, I don't know. That's a good question. Why did Lord Chaitanya always want to hear Juva Charita?
Because he got some causeless mercy, even though he performed so much austerity.
Mercy case. I don't know. They were both young boys, 5 years old. What other similarity? I don't know. Yeah. In Nrsingha, there is definitely a connection. There's a connection. What is the rasa with that? No, yeah, I don't know. With that Narayan, I don't know. I don't think he's in charge of one of the rasas. Yeah. Kapila's in charge of Shantaras, I remember. Can't remember the others. Of course, Krishna is Madhurya Ras. And the other one? Nectar of Devotion. But not our Nectar of Devotion, I think. Some commentaries. You have to look. Okay, any other... normal questions? Not far-fetched questions. You already had your quota today of questions. Krishnamayi. Of course it was beautiful. He didn't change. His mother, what do you think? Yeah, right. He's quite different. Yes. So if Krishna wants, he can become like... Even Lord Chaitanya, he got like Lord Nrsingadeva. He took on the mood. And he was chasing everybody. Everybody was running out away from him. He was chasing them, and he was chasing the atheists, those who didn't believe. He really, one time he just got fed up, and he just started chasing them, and that was it. But his face was still, of course, it was beautiful, but I don't know if you want to see it, him in that feature of chasing the atheists. Okay, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.